कुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिं मृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Shankara gives an alternative interpretation or alternative way of performing the sadhana of right vision or drishti. So in the previous shloka, he spoke about drishti. In the 116th shloka, he spoke about drishti as seeing everything as Brahman, knowing that whatever is being seen is Brahman. Viewing the entire world as Brahman is the right vision, and not seeing at the tip of one's nose. The more and more a person does this sadhana, the more and more a person is able to see the entire world as Brahman, the more and more he'll gain concentration. He'll gain concentration of not worldly objects, but concentration on or of Brahman. And that concentration is enough to take the seeker to the state of moksha. So when the sadhaka does that regularly, then it will lead to aparoksha anubhavam or moksha. So that is another like way of explaining, another way of practicing this sadhana of drishti or proper vision. That is what Shankara says in the 117th shloka. Drishta darshana drishyanam viramo va yatriva, sorry, viramo yatriva bhavet drishtissa kartavya nanasagravalokini. So, drishta darshana drishyanam viramo yatra bhavet va, or so if you say that this is particular the right vision to be followed, then there can be another interpretation, which is that drishta darshana drishyanam viramah yatra bhavet yatra, at that time or at that state where drishta darshana drishyanam viramah, where cessation of the distinction between seer, sight and seen. Drashta darshana drishyanam. Drashta means drashta, or the seer, the person seeing the subject. Darshanam is the activity that's happening, the action of sight or seeing, and the object, which is drishyam. So drashta darshana drishyanam. So drashta and drishya, so in Sanskrit grammar, so drashta darshana drishyanam viramah, cessation of all these three. So cessation here doesn't mean we have to get beyond and we have to stall off all activity. It doesn't mean that we should stop seeing things. That means then we can close our eyes, or we can go into sleep, a slumber state. That won't give a paroksha anubhavam. So what Shankara is meaning here is that a person should get beyond the Trinity. So a person should get beyond the Triputi. This is called Triputi. So Triputi is like consists of the subject, the object and the action. So taking an example, Shankara is speaking about drashta, about the activity of seeing. We can extend it to any activity that is possible. So any activity that we are doing, we should get beyond all these three, beyond the Triputi. Going beyond the Triputi is nothing but knowing that I or the consciousness in each person is the substratum, is a sakshi based on which this Triputi exists. So for Triputi to exist, any activity, any object, if it has to exist, it has to be viewed from a witness. So there should be a witness or a sakshi who illumines an activity. So Vidyaranya uses the analogy of a theater or a place where drama is happening. So in the theater, in the hall, or in the drama place, lot of people are there. Few people are performing on stage. The stage is there. Few people are performing in the stage. And then there is the audience as well. All of this is illumined by the lamp in the theater. So that the lamp in the theater illumines all the objects there. So even as the lamp, which is unaffected by whatever is happening in the theater, yet it illumines everything. Similarly, the sakshi, Vidyaranya says that in Panchadashi, that the sakshi is a witness and it illumines all activities of the ego, the body, the mind, etc. So the Triputi, in the Triputi, the object that we see are various objects of the world. Activity is the action, and the seer or the drashta is the ahankaram or the jiva. So the moment a person knows that he is not the ego, karta naham, I am not the karta, but sakshi aham, aham sakshi, sakshyoham, I am sakshi. That notion that I am sakshi, different from the karta of ahankaram, that state, like when a person does that, then he is doing drishti or having the right vision that Shankara says. And that is right vision, drishtihi, sa kartavya. That is the drishti which a person has to do. Kartavya means it is the kartavyam, it is one's duty. This is the vision that a person should have. The vision that I am not the ego, I am different from the Triputi and I am the sakshi. So cessation of Triputi, viramam. Viramam means inactivity or cessation of activity. But viramam of Triputi is impossible because there is no Triputi at all. There is no real Triputi for viramam to happen. If viramam of Triputi happens, that is only in anandam or in the state of Brahman. And in that state, there is no Triputi at all for viramam to happen. So when Shankara says viramam, it shouldn't be literally taken as in the sight that it is cessation of activity, cessation of Triputi. But it only means that you separate yourself from the Triputi. That means you are no longer attached, affected by the Triputi. As long as you are part of the activity, you will be affected. As long as a person is the actor in the stage, he will be affected by what the audience say, how the audience take his acting. The moment he becomes the light that illumines them, he just illumines it. So he is unaffected by the activity, he just illumines the activities. So even as sun, Suryo yata sarva lokasya chakshuhu na lipyate loka dukkhena bahyah ekastata sarva bhutantaratma na lipyate loka dukkhena bahyah. I forgot. Suryo yata sarva lokasya chakshuhu na lipyate chakshushair bahya doshaihi. So with our eyes we see a lot of bahya dosham. We see wrong things in the world, wrong doings, bad things. Things categorized as bad by the Smriti, by Dharma Shastra. So we see that. The sun also sees all those things. So though the sun sees all these things, yet the sun illumines all these things, but it is unaffected by it. Suryo yata sarva lokasya chakshuhu. It is the eye of all of the entire world, yet na lipyate chakshushair bahya dosheihi, but it is not affected by the bad things, bad objects that it is illumining. Similarly, ekas tata sarva bhutantaratma, similar is the antaratma, similar is the self in each one of us, which doesn't get affected by the activities in the world. So here vidamam doesn't mean cessation, but it means being the sakshi. So getting away, getting out of the clutches of the triputi is what Shankara is meaning as the vision. So any activity will have this triputi. As long as a person is part of the triputi, he will be affected in one way or the other. But the moment a person becomes a witness, it's like witnessing an accident. If an accident happens to us, then we will be affected by it. But imagine that we are a witness of somebody else's accident. So we will not get affected by it. We may help him, we may feel sad, we may help him, but still we will not be affected by it. Because we are a sakshi, we are not part of the activity. As long as we are not part of an action, we will not be affected by the action. So as long as we are not the triputi, we are distinct and different from the triputi, we stay as the sakshi who just merely illumines the triputi, even as the sun illumines the entire world, then we will be unaffected. And as long as we are unaffected by actions in the world, we are the sakshi, kutastha atma, we will not enter into the dual notions of sukham and dukkham. As long as we don't enter into the dual notions of sukham and dukkham, we will ever have equanimity of mind. We will have tranquility in the mind. We will have santosham. We will have shanti. We will have samabhavana. We will have maintain equanimity in our mind. Our mind will be steady. And as long as our mind is steady, we will be able to experience the bliss that emanates from ourselves. The bliss that emanates from ourselves, which is the bliss, our very nature of anandam, which is the nature of the Atman, our own nature of Atman, that we will be able to experience if we are unaffected by the activities of the world. So in the previous shloka, Shankara spoke about drishti as viewing everything as Brahman. Here says, view objects, view everything, but be a witness. Be a witness of all activities. Witnesshood is something very beautiful. So Sri Sri Ravi Shankar used to say, like in one of his book which is titled Be a Witness. In that book he speaks about witnesshood and he says that when we hear a beautiful music, so when we hear Michael Jackson singing or Jennifer Lopez singing or any Indian Pandit Jasraj or Lata Mangeshkar singing, we'll feel anandam, we'll feel blissful, we'll get happiness, we'll derive happiness out of it. But that happiness vanishes the moment we attach ourselves to the music. So when we say, I can also sing like that, I can't sing like that, it is my favorite singer, it is not a great singer, it is my favorite singer, but it's not my favorite music, that is when it leads to sorrow. So when we get attached, when we are a witness to anything in the world will be beautiful, a place of beauty. Even if we see bad things, even if we see sad things, yet we'll be blissful if we are a witness. But the moment we are not a witness, the moment we are part of the activity, then the activity and the result of the activity, the fruit of the action will affect us, we will be affected by the fruit of the action. Whereas a sakshi will be able to see everything blissful. And the reality is that our very nature, the truth is that our very nature is that of sakshi. We are in fact the sakshi or kutastha atman, which is unaffected. That is what the unaffected state is what we experience during deep sleep when we get bliss. But there, objects are not there, therefore we don't feel distraction. But here objects are there, and since objects are not there in that state, we aren't aware as well. Whereas in this state, when objects are there, we can be aware when we are a witness, and that awareness makes us experience and rejoice bliss. Whereas in deep sleep, we don't rejoice bliss, or we are not aware of us rejoicing the bliss. So we need to be a witness. We need, so viramam or cessation of Triputi means being a sakshi, separating oneself from the Triputi. The moment we separate ourselves from the Triputi, whatever happens, we'll be blissful. Oh, I met with an accident, still blissful. My father died, still blissful. Like, I didn't get promotion, still blissful. I lost some money, still blissful. I am hungry, I didn't eat anything, I am vomiting, I have headache. During all those times, if we are able to just for a second get out of the body mind intellect complex, get out of the Triputi that this body is suffering, this ahankaram is suffering, I cannot suffer, then we will enjoy bliss. That doesn't mean that a person who is having headache should run. Like, that doesn't mean that, okay, I am unaffected, therefore I'll wear just like night robe, I'll wear my night robe and just get out in the night. In the cold weather, I'll go out. Why? Oh, it's the ego that is suffering. I am not suffering, I am the Atman. That is idiotic. That is, or idiotic, it should be called, termed idiotic or foolishness. No Mahatma will say that. You don't need to do that. You need to have that vision internally. So whatever is required, whatever is necessary to do, like being a witness doesn't necessarily mean that we should do crazy things. It doesn't mean that we should show that I'm not affected. It is only internally being unaffected. You can do all things or all the activities that are possible in the world. You can even enjoy, you can even have bhogam. That doesn't matter as long as we are unaffected by the bhogam. So bhogam happens, oh, it is the ahankaram which is enjoying bhogam. So let it enjoy. Whatever is barely necessary, let it enjoy. That doesn't again mean that you should go to the extreme, one extreme or the other extreme. Oh, this guy is telling me that you can enjoy bhogam, therefore I'll start enjoying. I'll start doing wrong things. I'll consume alcohol. I'll get into drug. I'll get into sex. So that doesn't, the statement that we enjoy doesn't mean that you should do all those things. It doesn't mean that you should go to one extreme or the other extreme. Be natural. Naturally, whatever is happening to you, let it happen. If something that is happening naturally is bothering you, something that is happening naturally is obstructing you to be a sakshi, then you should get rid of it. Watching TV. I watch TV. Naturally, I watch TV, but watching TV is kind of affecting me. It is like obstructing my vision of being a sakshi. I'm not able to be a sakshi as long as I view the TV. I'm not able to maintain the sakshi bhavam as long as I am in a relationship. I cannot maintain sakshi bhavam as long as I am working in the office. That means you should get rid of it, because it is obstructing your spiritual path. Anything that obstructs the spiritual path should be avoided, should be negated. But if something is not affecting your spiritual path and it is necessary, it is required, then go with it. And if a person is able to maintain sakshi bhavam and get out in the cold weather and walk with your night robe, well and good. Nobody stops him from doing that. But just because a person goes out in the night in the cold doesn't mean that he is unaffected. Being unaffected or being a sakshi is internal and not external. You don't need to do external actions to show that I am internally unaffected. Just do things naturally, knowing that I am the sakshi. If a person has that particular vision, then he'll be unaffected. The best way is to judge that. Okay, I will watch TV. I am unaffected. I am a witness. So the best way to test that is pull out the power plug or switch off the TV. Then you will find whether the person is really affected or not. Watch TV when you are watching a cricket match and suddenly the power goes, oh God, what is happening? Power went. Yeah, this shouldn't have happened right at this moment. If somebody has all those emotions, makes all those statements, yet claims himself to be maintaining a sakshi bhavam, then you can very clearly know that such a person is not maintaining sakshi bhavam because he is affected. So a real jnani will try to avoid things. he will try not to go out in the cold weather, but by if circumstance comes that he has to go in the cold weather, then he will very well do it. He'll try the best. He will get a jacket. He'll wear a jacket. He will wear a monkey cap. He'll wear gloves. He'll try to protect himself as much as possible from the cold. But still, if something happens bad, okay, your car gets stranded in the way. So you have to get out. Though it is very cold, still you are fully covered. Still it is cold and you have to stand out. Then he will do it happily. He won't be affected. That is the real state of a jnani. That is the state of a person who is really doing Sakshi Bhavam. So you should always understand not to go to any extreme and understand that Sakshi Bhavam is internal. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can and should do anything and everything under the sun. And it also doesn't mean that you should refrain from doing anything and everything under the sun. You should live naturally, doing external activities like a normal person is doing, but internally maintaining Sakshi Bhavam. And if naturally you are not able to do normal actions and still maintain Sakshi Bhavam, then you should become a spiritual person. Oh, my parents scold me that I don't talk with them. My parents scold me that I am more and more going into spirituality. I am not worldly at all. They want me to marry, yet I am not interested in that thing. Because if I go into that thing, if I talk about that, then I am not able to maintain Sakshi Bhavam. Then such a seeker should compulsorily stay away from those things. Stay away from those topics. Stay away from marriage, if marriage is obstructing. It all depends from person to person. If marriage is an obstruction to spirituality, then it has to be avoided. Compulsorily avoided. So anything that doesn't affect the spiritual path, doesn't affect a person to maintain Sakshi Bhavam, that can be done. Anything that affects, person should get rid of it. So that is what Shankara says here. So drishti, this sadhana of drishti or proper vision can be done in two ways. One is considering everything as Brahman. Drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. Seeing everything as Brahman, knowing that everything is Brahman always, or trying to be the Sakshi. Both will lead to aparokshanubhavam when performed, when like done over a period of time. It might happen that a person might say, okay, I have been doing sadhana for 3 years, I have been doing sadhana for 5 years, I have been doing sadhana for 10 years, I have been daily learning Vedantam, I have been doing 8 hours of practice sadhana daily, yet I don't see any improvement. So you shouldn't go behind improvements. Those statements are made when we think that improvement is something that can be judged. Improvement is something that can be experienced. As Amma said beautifully in her Michigan retreat, the question answer session, that experience of the Atman or Atmajnanam is something which is beyond experience. It is going beyond all experiences. It is not an experience. It is being the witness of all experiences. It is the wrong notion that if I follow all these, I will experience something. I'll have an experience that makes us think that I haven't progressed. If a person feels happy, if a person feels content after doing sadhana, after learning Vedantam, then that means that he is progressing. It may take years, it may take many births. Still, if the happiness level in a person is increasing, that is more than enough. So if happiness level is increasing by any sadhana, then a person should do that sadhana. He should continue, though he may feel that he is still the same. He may feel that like somebody is scolding him that, okay, he is not progressing. Oh, you have been learning Vedantam for 3 years, yet you don't know anything. You are still the same. You have so the same faults. It doesn't matter if somebody says that there is a fault. So externally there may be faults. The same fault will be there in the same way. Yet, internally, for the sadhaka, if the sadhaka is feeling bliss internally, that is more than enough. That is a clear what to say, sign that he or she is progressing. That is more than enough. And if any of the sadhana a person does over a time, in time he will realize. So in Manusmriti, Manu splits knowledge into four, that means quartlets or whatever it is, quarters or whatever. So like four parts, knowledge can be split into four parts, and each of the part is attained in a specific way. So acharyat padam adatte padam sa brahmacharibhyah padam shishya swamedaya padam kala kramena tu. Padam means 1/4. So 1/4 acharyat padam adatte, the person gains 1/4 of knowledge from the acharya, from the guru, and padam sa brahmacharibhyah, then co-students, he gains 1/4, the second 1/4 from co-students by discussions, by vadam, by samvadam and vivadam, and padam shishya swamedaya, by his own intellect, by proper mananam, he gains the third 1/4, and the last 1/4 padam kala kramena tu, the last 1/4 in due time. So it may take time. I have got like 1/4 from my acharya, I have used my own intellect 1/4, so I have half knowledge, I have got from co-students as well, still I don't feel that much bliss. I feel blissful, but only when situations are perfect. That means there is something, like, it requires more and more sadhana, so time is lacking. So well, it will take, each and everything in the world has its own time. Oh, if realization of Brahman, and Brahman is beyond time, Deshakala Vishayati Vartiyate, Shankara says that Brahman is beyond Deshakalam and Vishayam. If that is the case, then why do you say that in due time you'll get knowledge? That is because we are at the Vyavaharika level. Vedanta never says that a person attains the Atman, he only realizes the Atman. So Atman is always attained. You cannot attain something new. Bliss is always there, but that bliss has been veiled by a seemingly appearing ignorance. If bliss is veiled by ignorance, then it is not always there. If somebody says that, then bliss is always there, but it is seemingly covered. Rope is always there. The rope is only there or there. But our ignorance causes a veil, which in turn makes it appear as snake. Our vision itself, that ignorance itself, is seemingly appearing. It's not real. It's not permanent. It's not real. Similarly, our ajnanam is not real. It's not permanent. It is seemingly appearing. And due to this seemingly appearing ajnanam, we don't experience bliss. So the sadhana, all the Vedantic sadhana, including Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, is for gaining knowledge to remove this ajnanam. So ajnana nivritti, or ajnana nivaranam, or removal of ajnanam. It's not exactly removal. You can't say ajnanam cannot be removed because it is not real. So just sublation of ajnanam. Sublation or removing the veil of ajnanam is what is required by a sadhaka. So all sadhanas, including Vedantic Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, is for removal of ajnanam through jnanam. So ajnanam is vyavaharikam, ajnanam is unreal. Similarly, the jnanam we gain is also vyavaharikam and unreal. Oh, jnanam is also unreal, then why do we need it? We need it to remove illusory ajnanam. It's not for the Atman. So the jnanam that we gain is also not real, because we don't learn about the Atman, because the Atman cannot be subjectified. Yato vaso nivartante aprapya manasa sah mano vacham agochara. So Atman is beyond words and thoughts. It cannot be explained, it cannot be expressed, it cannot be defined, because it's not an object. Therefore, whatever jnanam we gain, it only directs us towards the Atman. And this jnanam, the directive jnanam, which points to Brahman, points to the Atman, that removes ajnanam. And when ajnanam is removed, we experience bliss. So the more and more since we are at the vyavaharika level, gaining vyavaharika jnanam to remove vyavaharika jnanam, therefore Kalam is also there because Vyavaharikam means Kalam is there. Therefore, in due time a person, so no, a person, a sadhaka doesn't need to be worried if somebody says to him that, okay, you have been doing sadhana since so long, I don't see any improvement in you. You're still the same. You still have all those things. You still have those attachment, aversion, all those things. If somebody says you don't need to be bothered, ultimately it matters if you are doing the sadhana. As long as you are doing the sadhana, whether you gain your happiness level increases or not is also not a real matter, because if you are doing sadhana the right way, then it directly means that your happiness is increasing. And if your happiness is increasing, that means you are progressing. And that is a real progress. More and more you do, the more and more ajnanam you remove through jnanam, the more happiness will stay. And the more and more happiness stays, and it becomes natural, it becomes like breathing. That is the state of aparokshanubhavam. Aparokshanubhavam is when a person experiences the Atman always. That doesn't mean Atman is not experienced always, because our all experiences, even of the external world, is an indirect experience of the Atman as the substratum, because everything is only an illusion in the Atman. But direct experience of the Atman means that we'll be aware of the Anandam. We'll go beyond all experiences and experience bliss. It's not even an experience of bliss like our experience of happiness. When we speak about bliss, we shouldn't think that it is like happiness gained when you eat laddu. It's like happiness when you watch a comedy movie. It's like happiness when you meet your parents after a long gap. Those are like temporary happiness, which is also a thought in the mind. Therefore, it will be temporary. It will vanish after some time. But this anandam is not an experience exactly, but the best way to convey the idea is that it is an experience. That means it is something which is beyond experience. It is something which will give us bliss, which will give us contentment, which will make us feel perfect, which will make us feel full. We'll continue with the next sadhana in the next day. Hari Om.